John Richardson Show
with John Richardson.
Thank you for downloading this week's podcast with Angela's title.
I've forgotten it. What was it? Ask Tara about the truncheon.
Ask Tara about the truncheon.
There we go.
Ask Tara about the truncheon. You are back from a well-earned break in Lanzarote.
Yeah, I think part of me's still there, John, if I'm honest.
Which bit?
Well.
What were you drinking? What was your favourite? By the pool drink.
By the pool. I was on the Aperols.
Oh,
quite a lot of Aperols by the pool. Oh, Matt's shaking his head. He's not happy about that. Doesn't like an Aperol.
An Aperol?
No. I was on the... I mean, lagers and Aperols were my main tip. And then in the evening, I'd go and have an espresso martini in the bar after dinner. That was my little routine.
Any food?
Some.
Yeah, enough.
We went all-inclusive, so, you know.
Oh.
We went full pelt on the buffets. Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
It's when you've had a week of... 3 buffet meals a day. It's quite hard when you come home and have to make your own food.
Isn't it terrible?
Yeah.
There's not a selection of sweets at breakfast.
Right.
What, you want me to have toast?
What?
You realise why we're all in such a bad mood on the trains and buses of the morning. You can't expect it to live like this on Weetabix alone. Anyway, welcome back. A fantastic show. Will away this week at a wedding.
So congratulations to the happy couple.
Yeah.
Is that too sincere? It was a bit sincere, wasn't it? It was a little bit.
Yeah, well, no, not from you. I think it's nice. And I think the silence from me speaks volumes.
Yeah.
Yes, congratulations from Angela to the happy couple. And apologies for whatever Will got up to. We did try and put our foot down and say that he had to stay. But sadly, Dave was available, so we just decided to do that instead.
Yeah.
We will, with a little chat about weddings, there's some very good news that wasn't in the news, that could, would, or should have been in the news, and a direct challenge to the entire authenticity of the Literal Police and its history. Stay tuned for that, and we'll see you on the other side. If you want to email us while you're listening, it's john@absoluteradio.co.uk. John Richardson here with Dave and Matt and Tangela Barnes.
Oh, I see what you did there, John.
Like
is that because I've been on Hollybobs? I said Hollybobs. Oh, my God. Did you hear that?
Literally been on my Hollybobs.
Oh, please. I think it's time to put me out to pasture. I am so ashamed of myself. I've never said that before.
What you're doing there is you're just giving the listener a tease forward for what's coming up on today's show. And it is worth reminding people that at the end of the show, we give each other an on-air appraisal of how we've performed. And I suspect we'll be talking about Hollybobs just before 11 o'clock this morning.
It's been lovely, my time here at Absolute Radio. Thanks for having me. I think this might be my farewell show.
You weren't here last week, so
we
start by tidying up. Things that happened the week before. We call it our unfinished business. We start with a little highlight from last week's show as chosen by our production team. And here's what happened last week when you weren't here.
She's wonderful at telling stories then, isn't she? Because I was engrossed in that world.
There does come a point where you've got to wonder for the marriage, haven't you? If she's that good a liar.
That's what I mean. I think she's a charming woman anyway. Like, adding the fact she can lie so convincingly.
Yeah.
Well, she's the world is a...
whole life
egg.
Is a tissue of life. I don't remember who we were talking about.
I've no idea who you're talking
Could
about there.
Anyone. Susie Ruffle.
Mystery. Yeah, must be Susie Ruffle.
That, of course, was our response to...
I will
Angela's
say, my
lines.
Husband did listen to the podcast and say, apparently our marriage is in trouble.
Which podcast was that? Could have been any. I think I usually make some sort of sly comment about people's marriages. This is just a 3-hour manifesto for me to bring down the happiness of anyone listening. Welcome aboard. We did launch a new feature for Lindsay last week, which was Lindsay Sand Tour Guide, where she describes a secret location and we have to guess what it is.
And the feature definitely came before the name, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, of course.
And not to do with the fact that Lindsay just arrives every week and we don't know what she's talking about. And don't clip that up for next time she's here, Dave.
Definitely do, Dave.
Now, you didn't hear last week, so we'll play you a little summary now and see if you can guess where she's talking about.
Okay.
Take
now,
it away. Yeah, go on.
Oh, well, I think it's in the UK and I think I've been there and I think there's an arcade. I remember an arcade and it's like, it was good in the past, but I think it's fine now. from what, it's a good laugh. I had some, do you remember them sticks with the lollipops that were feet? You get them there as well.
Yeah.
And it's a seaside. I've got... So I have to carry on till the end of the top. There we are.
You just have to.
Do you know where I want to go on holiday? Is Lindsay Santoro's head.
Yes.
Just spend a week in there, just lying back, taking it all in.
Take a dustpan and brush.
For all the crisp crumbs.
Yeah. Any clue on what she's talking about there?
I would guess, it sounds to me like a place very dear to my heart, which is Great Yarmouth.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was the arcades that made me immediately go Great Yarmouth.
It was pretty much a description of the UK's coastline, wasn't
it? Yeah. It could have been any of those
lollies
towns.
And an arcade, and it was all right then, but I think it's still fine now. I'm afraid it wasn't Great Yarmouth.
Oh.
It was London. So I don't know what she's... Don't know what she's been drinking on the morning she comes into the radio. I didn't even know it was coastal. You said last time you were here that you
dear.
Like you would like to eat chili and yogurt.
Did I?
Yeah.
I have no recollection of saying.
I remember you were stood on the chair. You said, everyone, shut up. I've got something to say. I remember. And you spun round and you said, I want to try chili and yogurt.
Message
from Emma who says, I heard you mentioning chili in yogurt. Just to let you know, I've been eating chili flakes in Greek yogurt for about 3 years.
Ooh.
What a sentence to start an email to a radio show. I always say email in on anything, but if you want to start with, I eat chili flakes in yogurt and have done for 3 years, I call it breakfast. Fresh fruit, nuts and seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a worthy breakfast that, isn't it? I started it to get me better at eating foods with chili in. I began with 4 chili flakes in the yogurt and it used to make me cough. Now I'm up to a heaped teaspoon. So it works.
Oh, Emma. So it's about building up your chili
tolerance.
I quite like chili. I quite like a bit of a kick. So I like the idea of my breakfast fruity yogurt having a kick to it.
Yeah?
I'm going to do that, yeah.
If you've got any recipe suggestions for Angela's breakfast, then you can email them to john@absoluteradio.co.uk. I'm sure you're itching to know what's coming up on today's show.
Yeah.
Are you?
I am. Yeah. Actually, no, that's just the heat rash from my sunburn.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, give it a scratch. If it makes you feel good, give it a scratch. I didn't want to say anything. Dave's been sick in the bin, but we'll carry on. It's the usual stuff, isn't it? It's the usual stuff.
You know what's coming up. We don't need to tell you. You don't need us to hold
your hands.
It's
vibes, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we just say it's vibes and then put another song on?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
It's just vibes, man. A few hours of vibes. we are going to... Well, it's an interesting week for the Literal Police this week. If you've been listening to us for a while, you know it's one of our core features. We are the Literal Police. We go after anyone who misuses the word literally, as many people do.
Yep.
A repeat offender today, and some criticism of the way that we police in general.
Don't worry, John. I've got that covered. Don't you worry about that.
Great.
It's going to be fine.
Right. Another thing that I hope you've got covered is Angela's yarns.
Yep. No problem. I've got a yarn for you.
You bring in a yarn, something you've had a week away. It could be anything. You've had a week away in Lanzarote. Angela will tell us a story from her week and we'll decide whether it's a true story or not. I love you, but back in the next hour. It's our one and only shout out every single week. Dedications turn bitter as my soul creeps into the general mix. You get those drinks now, don't you, with glitter in it? I'm the opposite of that. I'm like when you shake a drink and then instead of going sparkly, it looks like there's soil in it.
Just dirt. Sediment at the bottom.
What's that? So we do a dedication, but it's always for something mean you say about somebody you love. This week it's a husband who has a bone to pick with his wife and her ability to put clothes away.
Uh-oh.
This sounds right up my street, this
doesn't
one.
It just?
Might do two links on that one. News that wasn't in the news. We'll bring you some of the sillier and light-hearted stuff from the week that you might not have seen on the proper news, which remains absolutely terrifying. And tips for weddings. As you'll know, the show is already sounding slicker. Atmosphere in the studio is great. That's because part-time producer Will is away once again. He's been away on a stag do. This week he's away on a wedding. So I guess there is some link. But
it's his first wedding, John, apparently.
Huge revelation.
Like
never
his
been
first
to a wedding
grown
before.
Up wedding, bless him.
Wow. It's a big moment, isn't it?
Yeah. So
picture him with a little suit for him to grow into.
It makes me feel really old because now I'm at the point, John, where the weddings I go to are people's second sometimes third weddings. That's what I'm
and
at.
You can really relax into them because they know.
It doesn't matter, does it, at that point?
I think you can audibly snigger during the vows at a second and third wedding. I think that's totally allowed. But he will be listening while he learns how to tie his tie, because I don't think his mum's with him. So he'll
he's got one on an elastic band, John. That's what
has
I think
he got
he's
it
done.
On elastic
yeah,
band.
I think his mum already tied it for him and sewed in a bit of elastic. Well done,
later
Debbie.
On, we will give him some advice on behaviour, do's and don'ts at weddings. Last time we saw you, you had a bit of, was it bronchitis?
I had a bit of bronchitis, so I had a bit of a cough. But I've had a week in Lanzarote. And I feel much better for it, thank you.
And we discussed whether Matt, as a man who likes a... I was going to say likes a run, but that's not true. He likes
my
a
husband,
50
Matt, yeah.
kilometre endurance, horrific.
Well, he's about to run off
hours.
His dyke. I think we talked about that, didn't we? So that's what he's prepping for at the moment.
Right, and how was the holiday in terms of the balance of sitting and
it was pretty good.
Off?
We did a lot of sitting, and I did quite a lot of swimming. There was a nice pool, so I swam quite a bit. Matt,
with your little inflatable bag behind you with your phone and stuff in, on the song lounger.
Not this. I was mostly swimming in a pool, not the sea. So I didn't have my. I know you love my inflatable bag with my possessions in. You'll be able to see me doing that in Hastings throughout the summer. Just look for a little pink inflatable bag along the horizon. That'll be me.
Yeah.
But do you know? I wish we still had smugness as a feature. Do you know why? Because in
could
that
bring
week,
it back.
I read 8 books.
You never.
I did. I was just.
There are 8 books in the world.
It was so lovely. Because I love reading. I really do. But it's the time, you know, to sit undisturbed and read. And that's all I did was drink cocktails by a pool. Then when it got a bit hot, have a little swim. And then Matt had to go off scuba diving one day because he had enough. But apart from that, that's all we did for a week. It was glorious.
Any stinkers?
Yes.
Yeah, name and shame? No.
No, I'm not that mean.
There's no need to get into that,
there was
there?
One, what was really annoying as well, it wasn't just a stinker where you can just put it down. It was a stinker where it was a bit of a mystery, so I had to finish it because I couldn't live with not knowing what happened. And it was just really annoying me that I had to read it to the end, you know?
Well, he doesn't present House of Games anymore, so you can say what you like about him. You don't have to worry, mate.
John,
not
Richardson.
Michael Sheen, was it? Of course it wasn't. Well, it's good to have you back. And as always, the question is: it good to be back? What's the gig back that you're going to get to tonight and think, oh no, I'd rather be in Lanzarote.
Well, I'm in Hereford tonight, John, and I've got to tell you, I'm gonna be transparent here. I'm gonna be vulnerable for a minute, if I may. I always love going to Hereford. I usually have lovely shows in Hereford. Been a great time, lovely venue. Tonight's show has sold exceptionally badly for some reason. I don't know what I've done to upset the people of Hereford. I don't know. So if you are in Hereford, if you know anyone in Hereford or near Hereford and you're at a loose end tonight, come and see my tour show, Angst, please. It'll be fun, I promise, at the Courtyard in Hereford.
Right, I'm going to Google what else is going on in Hereford tonight and we'll have a little frank discussion about what you're up against. Did you make public your holiday plans when you announced the tour? Do you think they were waiting to listen back to this show to see, well, let's see what state she's in after a week on the last reading
books. If she's bothered coming back from Lanzarote, she might not. Maybe that's it. Maybe the people in Hereford just buy their tickets really late. Maybe at like 6 o'clock tonight, they'll be going, right, what's on? And then the floodgates will open.
Well, I can tell you, people of Hereford, she's upright, she's compos mentis, she's absolutely flying. Get yourself down to the Courtyard Theatre tonight. And now a public announcement.
Ooh.
I do not endorse the happiness of anybody. That's broadly what I mean.
I don't think you needed to announce that, John. I reckon your listeners are fully aware of that fact.
Yeah, we do it subtly by the virtue of our feature, I Love You, But, where we'll give you a dedication because it's what people like, especially at the weekend. You can say something nice if you like, but really, I want you to say something mean and then I'll play for a song for the person you mean about.
Yes.
I think it's the only way
this
you're
show
get
really
a shout
celebrates
out.
The wasp in the cherryade, doesn't it? That's what you want.
Is the wasp alive? I've had a lot of wasps in the house this week.
There have been a lot of wasps recently. I've noticed
biggins.
That. Yeah.
The big ones are waking up first, aren't they? You can
they
hear
are.
Them. I was on my landing thinking either someone's strimming or there's a big wasp in the bathroom.
It was used in your electric toothbrush, wasn't it? That's what.
It was both. A wasp was trimming the yard. We had a good conversation. Turns out, nice guy. This week's I Love You Bot comes from Jamie from Leicester, who says, "Dear John, I would like to give my wife today's one and only dedication." Are you all right reading this next bit?
No, I don't think I can, John. Really? You're going to make me? All right, I'll read
it. It's a voice note, but Jamie's emailed. I can't say that.
Okay, deep breath. "I love her to the moon and back, even more so now as she's pregnant with our first child. I mean, it's lovely, but I love you to the moon and back can do one, can't it?"
Yeah, well, people have been further than the moon now, so that's not the claim it was. That used to be the furthest humans had ever been. Now, look.
"I love you all the way around the moon and back." That's what you meant to say, Jamie.
"However, the baby brain is now well and truly taking over. Last night, she went to put her underwear in the laundry bin and somehow mixed up the laundry bin with the toilet, lifted the lid and threw her pants in there. Poppy, I love you, but please don't throw your pants down the toilet. I especially didn't love fishing them out and wringing them dry, and I really don't want to make that phone call to a plumber. All my love, Jamie." Oh, that's wonderful.
I am fully Team Poppy. I don't think Team Poppy had baby brain at all. I think Jamie did something. Jamie did something that was not so unreasonable that she could really bring it up.
Yeah.
That's what
there's not many partners who are fishing the pants out, though, are there?
No, I think if I threw my pants in the toilet, my husband would definitely be making me fish them out.
Yeah. No, hang on, I'll help you. Let me film it. Not the good kitchen songs. I've got a daughter, so I've been in this situation. But my technique there is ideally you've got two empty cardboard tubes of toilet roll knocking about in the bathroom, which you use almost as tongs. Quickly fish the pants, flick straight into the bath or the sink, whichever's nearest, depending on the layout of your bathroom. Then you're going to run hot water on those pants for a good minute or so. Then you commence the wringing process, and then it's in the laundry basket.
You've got to be careful with cardboard tubes, though, because they soak up the water quite quickly.
Soakage.
So you've got to be quick, because otherwise it's going to get
absolutely
to your hands. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Or you use the bog brush, but you're creating more problems than you've started there. I mean, good on Jamie for being the kind of guy who'll fish the pants out. And I think it's a good test for if the first baby's on the way.
If she accidentally throws the baby in the toilet, you're going to be all right.
Yeah. If Poppy is setting you a series of tasks, then all I would say is keep your fingernails short, because there's worse stuff coming.
John Richardson
and the John Richardson Show. How do you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Absolute Radio. Happy Saturday. It's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes.
Hello. I'm going to clip out every time you say my name, because you say it so with such enthusiasm. It's really nice. And
it's
I'll just
quite
play
a nice
it to
one
myself
to say.
When I need cheering up.
It's a good name. You must get good announcements when you go on stage. It's a good name to announce. Angela Barnes.
My favourite one was when somebody introduced me on stage and said, when I was a new comedian, and they said, "This is a name you won't want to forget. Welcome to the stage, Amanda Barnes."
This is the time of the week we discuss news that wasn't in the news that could, would, or should have been in the news. Sillier stories, because the news has all got a bit tense over the last, decade. Right, guys?
Right, am I
century?
Right?
Do you want to have a little chat on a lovely bank holiday morning? I've picked a lovely bank holiday story.
Oh, it is.
Bank holiday themed. UK's longest running road work still going after 11 years.
What?
11 years. Oh,
How could it take 11 years to fix a road?
I'm a particular kind of person. I thrive on misery.
Yeah.
This to me is like news of a theme park opening.
She's catnip.
My favourite Edinburgh festival was the one where the tram works had started and then been suspended. And it just bypassed all that fear you have as a comic getting in a cab of like, well, they're going to ask me what I do and then we're going to have the tell me a joke thing. You just get in and go, what's happening with these trams then? I'll tell you what's happening with these trams, Paul! Oh, just an absolute month off any small town. And this makes me want to drive to this village. It's Witham.
Witham in Essex,
I think that's
yeah.
how it said. Witham in Essex. Work began in 2015.
What?
It makes me want to find a nice pub near the roadworks and just walk in there, order a pint and say, one of them roadworks are getting finished then. And then just watch the bar brawl, get the camera out. I imagine, I mean, people will have moved to the area and then relocated in the
time.
Yeah.
Children would have been born there and now they're on their way to university almost. Like that's, and the roadworks are still going on.
Seems a shame to finish them now, doesn't it? They've become like a local landmark.
Do you think that's what it is? That if they finished it, nobody would be able to find their way around?
Do you think the traffic reporters on the local radio in the morning, do you think they're not even...
They don't even bother getting in the helicopter now. They're just...
That's like their email sign-off, isn't it? It just starts with, usual problems on the Woodhead Bridge over the A12. And everyone just sighs.
Yep.
A town council meeting held earlier this month revealed that works are now expected to not be completed until the 27-28 financial year. The roadworks have earned their own pinpoint on Google Maps with a TripAdvisor page boasting 52 five-star reviews, cheekily poking fun at Witham's most famous attraction. That's Britain on a bank holiday. Right. That's what you want.
And what a British way to deal with it, to go and give it a load of five-star reviews and give it its own little thing on Google Maps. You can find Witham now via the roadworks. That's beautiful.
I think we should do a show live from there.
Yeah, let's pitch that. What do you reckon, Dave? Can we do that? Dave says yes.
Let's have a conversation to see what's going to be finished first. The pub I'm working on in North Yorkshire or the roadworks in Witham started in 2015. The battle is on. Angela, what is your news story?
I'm excited by this news story I found, John, because it feels quite nostalgic. It feels like this is a news story that used to be, I reckon, 30, 40 years ago, this was a news story you used to get once a month. It is that a black puma-like animal has been spotted in the Scottish countryside. It's a big cat fighting, John. Do you remember when that was a real regular occurrence? Yeah. And then it'd always just be an overfed pet.
Yes.
That people
or
had
just
seen.
Someone so drunk they're crawling home on like hands and knees.
Yeah, that's it. Do you remember the Beast of Bodmin?
Beast of Bodmin Moor.
Beast of Bodmin Moor. When in 1995... So what's that? That's 31 years ago. Oh, my word. I did my first ever Edinburgh Fringe, and we did a play that was about this phenomenon. And it was called The Beast of Penprivy, this play. Yeah. And I played a schoolgirl who pretended to see a big cat and to get tourists to this little Cornish town.
Penprivy is a town. I thought it was a toilet.
Yeah, no. It's a fictional town in Cornwall, it was. It wasn't the biggest hit of Edinburgh that year, I will say. But I do remember my review said that Angela Barnes exudes gym slip earnestness. Make of that what you will. But anyway.
Yeah. Is it still on the poster?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Might explain some of the ticket sales in Hereford. I'm going to put some of your TV credits on there. Some of your awards you've won.
Yeah, I'm not going to get the audience I want. Well, as a nearly 50-year-old woman saying she exudes gym slip earnestness.
Says this comedian here is very earnest. Is
that good? Good Hereford accent, though. I liked it.
Thank you.
Yeah, so this one is in Scotland. And there have been multiple reports of a so-called Kellis cat, which is a hybrid between a Scottish wildcat and domestic breeds. I didn't know there were wild cats in Scotland. Did you know that?
Wild cats?
Apparently, but they've been obviously bred with domestic cats to form whatever it is that they're seeing now. So this is...
That's one for Attenborough, isn't it, that?
Yeah, in the Cairngorms, apparently. On Friday night, this farmer and his wife...
Always Friday night.
Yeah. Yeah, they were on their way back. Hang on a minute. It's 9:45 p.m. on a Friday night.
Of course it is.
Yeah, maybe.
Of course it is. They've got a big event they want to sell tickets to coming up, by any chance. Get some national press. What I would like is a Yeti-like creature.
Oh, Bigfoot. We don't have Bigfoot sightings here, do we?
My daughter has got very into Yeti and Bigfoot sightings.
Oh, really?
And there's one where they call it a squatch. There's like a squatchy odour over here, Kent. And she fully believes it. And there's one where they do come to the UK. Speak to a guy. They fly to the UK and then the guy they've agreed to meet, who's the UK's foremost squatch expert, isn't there. So they just say, oh, Bill's not here. But he sent his mate.
Didn't they let him know he was coming?
He's obviously got somewhere else. It's my cousin's wedding. I've got to be at that. So they fly all the way to the UK. They go to this location and he sends his mate, who's just this Geordie guy, leaning on a truck going, "Hey, so walk down," and it was down there about 7 foot tall. There's no footprints or anything like that, but I doubled back, but it had gone. And then they fly back to the US. It's an exceptional piece of telly. If you've spotted a Squatch or a hybrid lynx up in the Highlands, let us know. john@absoluteradio.co.uk. We're starting the literal police a little bit early this week because we've had a question. Just about the literal police in general. So before we get to this week's nominations and accusations, we've had a pressing inquiry to the literal police hotline. It comes from Steve in Canterbury.
Hello, John and team. Amongst the weekly gems on your show, I enjoy the literal police feature. However, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary Company, literally has been used both the way the literal police intend, but also figuratively since the 18th century. Does this mean there have been incorrect guilty sentences on your show, or will you retrospectively imprison Mark Twain and so on for their heinous crimes against the English language? If past offenders are now considered innocent, does this mean the demise of this feature? Keep up the good work. Steve from Canterbury.
Oh, Steve. Don't worry, John, you look worried. Canterbury.
Well,
don't worry,
go on.
John. Don't worry.
Yeah, you got it.
Two reasons. For a start, Steve mispronounced the word heinous, so, you know. But secondly...
What did he say? Heinous?
Heinous, I think he said.
Heinous, okay. Yeah. I thought he was referring to me there. So. Yeah. I missed the yaw at the beginning of it.
But the Merriam-Webster dictionary is the dictionary he's quoting. It's an American dictionary, so it doesn't matter what it says, does it, about the use
doesn't
of...
Doesn't matter. Literally.
Doesn't matter. I mean, fine, no. If you're American, then, you know, then you can be
Do
governed
what you like.
By it. But unfortunately... That doesn't
Well, you just stop short of over here.
Here.
I could just hear it over here. I think you'll find.
Yeah, I think we're all right, John, because Merriam-Webster doesn't really have jurisdiction over the literal police.
And he's referenced Mark Twain. I mean, I would say the use of literally in fiction. If a character in a fictional work uses the word literally incorrectly, then that's a tool that the author is using to let us know as a reader. This person doesn't understand the use of the word literally, and you can make all the judgments you want to off the back of it.
Absolutely.
That's fine, isn't it?
Part of character building, that's all that is.
Part of character building, absolutely. Yeah. All right, well, Steve, you know, thanks for taking the time to get in touch.
Yeah.
You know, clearly a fan of the feature. I think a touch of worry in Steve's voice himself. Maybe Steve was just saying, hang on, has this all been for nothing? And we're pleased to report no.
Yeah.
It's just that Americans don't talk properly.
Steve's worries to bed, and yes.
You have.
I'm glad you said that about Americans and not me.
Well, I was just quoting you. I was just quoting Angela Barnes, who says Americans do not understand the use of the language that they've stolen from us and ruined. I think that's what you said, word for word. Now we can move on to the actual allegations. We are about to don our hats and get our truncheons out to police the airwaves and the correct use of the word literally.
John, you can't just drop a truncheon in there and not expect me to laugh.
Handcuffs?
Okay, yeah.
I mean, what can I say? What police equipment?
You could have said notepad. Equipment. You could have said walkie-talkie. You could have said anything.
Walkie-talkies.
But you went truncheon.
We'll get our walkie-talkies out and we'll have a good chat about literal offences.
That's the sound of the
literal
police. That's the sound of the
literal
police.
This is the literal police. Our concerted efforts to penalise those who misuse the word literally. The first report this week comes from Nick.
Hi, John. I have a literal offence to report, and by none other than your colleague, Dave Berry. At around 8:15 on Monday morning, Dave was referring to your swanky studios and the works going on around them and claimed literally all the UK's JCB diggers are at the site. I was only half listening, so I accept I'm not a super reliable witness because I do feel this needs to be investigated. Thanks, Nick.
Well,
I mean,
we already know, don't we? Because at least some of the JCBs are in Witham in Essex.
Absolutely, and have been for some time.
So, yeah.
half listening as well is a bit of a slam, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it?
I don't want to say that about my show. On in the background.
Just stops the voices in my head.
Particularly worrying because I've told people to listen to Dave's show if they want 10 weeks of tickets. I've driven them towards the Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Now I find out he's putting this filth out on it. Shall we have a little listen to
So whilst we have state-of-the-art facilities, we just so happen to be next to, I think, the UK's population of JCBs. I think they're literally here.
I tell you what, listening back...
It feel they're literally here. The UK's population of JCBs, they're literally here.
Because it's not one solid sentence, there's that little pause where he's saying, there's the UK's population of JCBs, that's a gag. And then there's a pause, and he's looking at somebody saying, I mean, there are some... he's saying, I can literally see a JCB now from where I am.
But is he saying it about the UK's population of JCBs, in which case they're not literally there?
Oh, that's a lie. Yeah, that's
I do think... Had this been Dave Berry's first offence, I might be more lenient.
Well, this is the problem.
But
he
is a serial offender now.
He's still tagged.
Yeah. And you can't do that while tagged. You can't.
No. I'm surprised it didn't go off, to be honest. He should have heard the zap. Sorry.
Last chance saloon, really.
Do you think? Is it a warning?
Or is he going back in? I think he's got to go down.
Okay, let's shut the door.
Sorry, Dave.
Short, sharp shock. Yeah. 3 days in, he loses his bank holiday. He's back on Tuesday.
Okay, done.
Because no one wants to lose a bank holiday, do they?
No.
And we'll do some horrible stuff to him while he's in there. We've also received a report this week. Sounds awful when you say it under your breath, doesn't it?
I'm just glad you didn't mention your truncheon again at that point.
If I'd have fronted it out in DJ voice, don't worry, and we will make his stay unpleasant. In fact, I went, we'll do some horrible stuff to him, so don't worry. We have had an anonymous tip-off this week as well. You can report crimes anonymously. A lot of people are scared of repercussions. You know, there's a lot of fight back from the literal community.
We do support witness protection in our scheme. You know, we can protect
absolutely.
You.
One listener said, and I quote, they were too embarrassed to admit that they listened to the Therapy Crouch podcast. However, did spot this offence from Abby Clancy.
It's just how loved he is in my city.
Yeah.
You know, he's literally God.
Who's she talking about?
God.
Right. Well, in that case, it's fine.
Yeah. Very big in Liverpool.
Yeah, two cathedrals.
I don't think she is talking about God.
No.
So I think that's a straight up...
She's talking about Peter
Crouch. It's some company for Dave, isn't it, for the bank holiday weekend. So in goes Abby Clancy. There we go. If you spot a literal offence, please reach out to the Literal Police Hotline. You can do so anonymously if you choose. It's john@absoluteradio.co.uk. And after Angela couldn't be with us last week as she was on a holiday, it's only right that as she is back, we return to Angela Yarns. If you missed its debut over the last few weeks, here's the crux of it. Angela, as she is a wonderful storyteller, has the chance to tell us a tale on air, which we call Angela's Yarn, for the week. She tells a story about something that's happened, and we decide, while the record plays, whether she's telling the truth or spinning a yarn. So, Angela, what happened to you this week?
Thanks, John. Well, this is not a story about my holiday, actually, because something else exciting happened to me this week, and that is that I went to... Well, two exciting things happened in one. I went to Birmingham. That's not one of them. I went to Birmingham to watch an episode of The Archers being recorded. Now, as you know, I'm a big fan of The Archers.
You are.
So that it was a proper bucket list tick. And when I walked into the green room, and the first person I met in there was he's an actor whose name is John Telfer. And he plays the vicar, Alan, in The Archers. And you also might know him if you were a fan of Bergerac in the 80s. He played Willie Pettit in Bergerac. But I knew him because he was a kids' TV presenter in a programme that was very big in the 1980s called Let's Pretend, where he presented it with my uncle, Aidan, who was also a presenter of Let's Pretend in the 80s. And so I had all of Let's Pretend on a VHS tape, and I used to watch it over and over again. So I knew all the songs, all the... But this is the first time I'd met him. So this guy was such a big thing in my childhood. Because he worked with my uncle. So I walked in and he was the first person I met. And I just went, oh, you know my uncle, Aidan. And I used to watch you on Let's Pretend. And he was so, like, thrilled and was telling me all the stories of what him and my uncle used to get up to while they were making Let's Pretend. That's my
young. Okay. There's a lot there.
There's a lot
every,
there.
That you
meaty.
Kept adding details. Mm. Right. So we know you're a fan of the Archers.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's been on your bucket list to see it recorded.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably got a little bit more time to tend to that bucket list than most of the audience of the Archers, may I speculate?
Not anymore. I've got a very young demographic now, thanks to it being a podcast.
How young?
I mean, when I say very young, I might be on the younger end of that spectrum, but still.
Yeah, we've met John Telfer, who plays Vicar Allen and also played Willie Pettit. In Bergerac.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real who's who of references, and was in Let's Pretend, the children's TV show of
the 1980s. Do you remember Let's Pretend? It was one with the little caterpillar at the beginning. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Wow. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Wow. Let's pretend. Let's pretend. Remember with the little caterpillar on sticks? Let's
no,
pretend. You're not that much older than younger.
I was going to say, you said I can remember all my songs. I was going to say, well, you do one for us. And I thought you'd say no, but there you've gone straight into it.
I can do some of the songs that are in it because my uncle used to write the songs. There was one called The Man Who's Always Late. He's late.
Yeah.
He's the man who's always late. He's late. He's the one you're always waiting for. He's late. He's sorry, but he's never there on time. There you go.
So, you have some thinking time. Has Angela made up that song?
Getting clipped for next week's episode. Yeah. Unfinished business.
Just to let you in on what goes on off air, Angela continues her bluffing and just said, oh, I'm so glad I was able to sing that song on air. My uncle will be really pleased. Will he? Just... Your commitment to the role is wonderful. So, do I believe that you went to Birmingham to watch The Archers be recorded? Yes, I do.
Right.
Do I believe that you met a man called John Telfer? Yes, I do. Do I believe he's the Vicar Allen? Probably. Why would you lie? Surely there's a vicar in The Archers.
Have you not Googled you lost, him?
I felt like cheating. Right, that felt enough. Like cheating. And I've still got the Hereford Tourist Board website up as we were discussing what you were up against. Do you know when you go on to visit herefordshire.co.uk, get an AI assistant comes up. Hi, I'm Tara, your personal Herefordshire guide. Are you planning a weekend escape? It's a little bit too much.
Can you ask them how I could get people to go to my tour show? See what she comes up with. Go on.
Can I see Angela... Barnes in the area this weekend. Let's see what they make of that. Anyway, you slightly lost me. I will update you as and when Tara gets back to me. You lost me with Willie Pettit because that sounded like a made-up name. But then it was the 80s and it was Bergerac. And then you came out with the songs so wonderfully. And... I'm going to declare, first of all, that I think that that is a true story.
You're right. It is a true story. It was very exciting for me this week.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
That's a big moment for you.
It was such a big moment. It was very emotional and nostalgic. And I got to see where they record all the different... The drama studio is incredible and all the sound effects and they do live spot effects. It was really fun.
Was there a hug?
Was there a hug with... Yeah, I've got a little photo of me with John Telfer.
Oh,
so I sent it to my uncle to say, look who I found today. So, yeah, it was really
I'm very
nice.
Very pleased.
Yeah.
Well, that's the first one I've got right as well.
Well done.
That's some pleasure for me there, out of the three. We are having a chat with Tara from Visit Herefordshire.
I'm really nervous about this.
I went on to see what Angela was up against this week.
Should we say, in case people have just tuned in, that I'm doing a tour show in Hereford tonight. Hasn't sold brilliantly, so there's plenty of tickets on the door if you want to come down. But John,
so we speculated. There must be big stuff going on in the Hereford area. Mm. There's the Philosophy Cafe that you're up against.
I mean, I didn't stand a chance, did I?
Borders and Boundaries Artist Talk Series 2 at Hereford College of Arts. You know, you've picked a heck of a weekend.
I'm going to have a word with my agent for putting me up against this lot. I mean, give a girl a chance.
Never mind a guided tour of Cradley through the ages.
What?
I mean,
I'm cancelling the show because I want to do that. That's been on my bucket list for ages.
You've got no chance. So anyway, I went on the website, up pops Tara. Hi, I'm Tara, your personal Herefordshire guide. Are you planning a weekend escape? I said, hi, Tara. Can I see Angela Barnes in Hereford this weekend? Tara says, I'm not finding Angela Barnes listed this weekend in Hereford. So now we know it's a conspiracy. There are some comedy events coming up, but nothing specifically featuring her on the 3rd or 4th of May. Would you like me to check what other events or comedy shows? So she's plugging your rivals.
What?
Is there something else I can help you with?
So she's basically I haven't got the wrong date. I'm definitely there.
Well, I've replied to Tara, what about the 2nd of May?
Yeah.
Because I thought maybe she's thinking, maybe I'm on my way to Hereford today. Maybe she doesn't know I can get up there in time for the show. She says, I'm still not finding Angela.
This is shocking.
It's possible the event isn't in our listings, or she may just not be performing in Hereford on that day.
I am Tara. And I am there tonight. Can you stop lying?
I would recommend checking directly with venues like The Courtyard, as they regularly host comedy nights,
or have a look
at the full What's On listings. Is there anything else I can help you with while you're planning your visit? And just so you know, I'm going to put no thank you. If Angela isn't on, I'm not coming. There we go. See what she makes of that. No, if Angela isn't on, I'm not coming. She says that's completely understandable.
Thank you, Tara. You've won me back. That's amazing.
Oh, that's completely understandable. It's always disappointing when you can't catch the actor after if your plans change or you fancy exploring Herefordshire another time. We're here to help. Safe travels. Oh, wonderful.
Oh, that might be my favourite thing that's happened on this show.
Yeah. Okay. So there's some sort of local conspiracy going on to tell people you're not there, but it doesn't extend to saying come anyway. The basic conclusion is, I won't bother if I were you.
If she's not here, there's nothing else.
Yeah. Well, you are going to Hereford and people should come along.
Please do.
Very quickly, while we're dishing out weekend activities for people, Will is at his first ever wedding. Our little boy is all grown up.
Oh, he's got his elastic suit on.
He's gone to his first ever wedding. Now, obviously, we've been to a few. Well, so mid-20s is new and exciting. Then you hit about 30 when everyone's getting married.
You lose every weekend of your summer. It is so annoying.
So, Will will be listening while he gets ready. What piece of advice would you give him for a long day at a wedding?
This is Will specifically. Easy on the Jubel peaches. No one wants a drunken chimp at their wedding.
No.
And there is, this is my advice to anyone going to a wedding. Every single wedding has a most drunk person that everyone remembers. Don't be that person.
So get off early and don't be that.
Don't be that. Or do. Or if you're going to make that decision, do it with style.
Yeah. You know. And then the best tip ever I ever got was never let someone top your glass up until you've finished it. And then at least you know how much you've had. Otherwise it becomes this sort of floating, well, it was half full, so I mean, one half, and then it gets topped up again. Mm. Finish your glass, then get a top up, and then you know exactly how much you've had.
I've had those weddings, have you, where you've been sat at the table chatting away, it's not till you get up that you realise, oh no, I've overdone it.
Oh, that speech was 4 hours long and I've had 3 bottles of red. Yeah. Anyway, all the best here. So we are almost at the end of another show here on Absolute Radio, which means it's time for me to tell you that you can, if you choose to, listen to this show again in its entirety on the Rayo app, or you can download a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And we like to come up with a little funny title for it, don't we, Angela?
Don't we? Yeah. Have you got one? I've got a pitch.
Go on then.
Mine is Ask Tara About the Truncheon.
Yes. Okay. It was all going so well. I was going to put Tara for now, Tara for now.
Oh, that's clever.
But we'll go with your one because it's cheekier.
Okay, yeah, let's be cheeky. Lures them in.
Right on the line, isn't it?
That's where we like it.
Before we move on to our appraisals, there was something that happened a couple of weeks ago where I promised, because you said, who is Marcelo Bielsa? I promised you that every week you were in, I would educate you on the ways and means and theories of the greatest football manager that ever lived. I told you last time about Marcelo's litter picking, and I made the players pick litter so he understood the work that goes into buying a ticket. I give you the other end of the spectrum here, which is why he's called El Loco, the madman. It's partly to do with the quote of his that everyone with new ideas is mad until their ideas succeed. It is also slightly to do with a story from when he was the manager of a team in Argentina called Newell's Old Boys, which is his local team. They lost 6-0, and some fans popped to his house to tell him they weren't very happy with him.
That's surely frowned upon.
It's frowned upon, isn't it? I don't know how you would handle that if you'd had a bad gig and a few people come to your door.
Imagine people coming to our door after this show. Just don't want it, do
we? We don't want that. No. Well, you take a leaf out of Marcelo Bielsa's book and go to your front gate holding a live grenade. that's what he did. Yeah, exactly. There are many sides of the man. It's not just the letter picking. There is also the odd live grenade thrown in there as well.
You're
that's why they call
me
him El Loco.
More. Yeah.
He's an absolute wonder. And I
love the idea of him being like in a dressing gown or something as well with a live grenade, chasing them off. Do you know what I mean?
Like... yeah, I do now. Oh, yeah. Lovely image.
John, back in the room.
Hello there. Coming up, I've got a feeling that's going to feature in my appraisals. We like to end each show by assessing each other's performance, just to make it slightly tense before we leave.
What better way to end it? Can I start, John, here? Because I've got something to say about the tension in the room. This is in lieu of an appraisal, really. It's more of an apology, I suppose. But
okay.
We've got a little group WhatsApp, and Charlie wasn't here last week either. And she mentioned that on last week's podcast, Lindsay noted that there was some tension in the studio during the show last Saturday. And Charlie pointed out, we often start the show with some tension in the studio.
Yeah.
And I said, well, there is just one common denominator. You know, it being the John Richardson Show, and producers and co-hosts alternate a bit. And I left that there thinking it was quite amusing, and no one replied or did anything, like no emojis, no nothing. And I, for about 2 days, thought, I've gone too far. I'm going to get phased out of the show. I've done a terrible thing. So, John, if I need to apologise, then I apologise.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's been worrying me.
Has it? I'm really sorry, especially given you're on holiday. I hate the idea that you think I might actually have just sent an email around saying that's too much now. It's just that I am useless on WhatsApp.
Fine. If that's all it is, then that's fine.
I sometimes feel especially, I think there's a lexicon with normal people where a thumbs up and a laughing emoji is punctuation.
Yeah.
Then with a comic, I think sometimes it looks sarcastic. And I struggle to know how to respond to a funny comment, because you can't just write ha-ha, can you?
I don't mind, because I think the laugh emoji just gives you the release of that tension.
It does,
because, you know, you put something out there that you think's a little bit funny, a little bit, and you're tense going, come on, guys, I didn't, that's quite funny, isn't it? And then no one does it. You're never releasing that. I've carried that tension into the studio today.
It's possibly that I was grumpy about the football, and I didn't want to reply immediately, and then the next day it seemed silly to just put a laughing emoji from something the day before.
Okay,
and then now that you've told me that you genuinely sweat on it for 2 days, I will continue to
I've really made a rod for my own back there, haven't I?
Yeah. Anything to say about Matt and Dave?
I think they've been exceptional today. I mean, we haven't quite finished the show yet, but Dave...
No.
Jinx is a strong word, but I will say that when Dave is in the studio... things tend to go wrong, technically, I mean.
Yeah.
But listeners wouldn't know because Dave is so suave and cool the way he deals with it.
Yeah.
You know, I imagine that, well, I know things have gone wrong when Will's in the studio, but the whole world knows about that. But where, you know, Dave just deals with it quite, but today, we're quite near the end of the show, so it could be.
No, Dave did say in the last record, touch wood, this is the first show we've done where nothing's gone wrong, which does suspect there is going to be some alarm goes off in the next sort of 30 seconds.
The wheels are going to fall off at some point now. But
yeah, it was a bold comment.
I think if we do make it to the end of the show with no technical hiccups, then well done, Dave.
Yeah, well done, Dave and Matt. Great atmos in the studio. One little note on the speed with which you both enjoyed mocking me for asking people to email in if they'd ever seen a Sasquatch or a Hybrid Lynx in the Highlands. I will just say, in the heat of radio, you're just looking for interaction, yeah? You just want the listeners to get involved. And sure, maybe that wasn't my best text and email topic of all time. Have you seen a Squatch? But... And Angela, just one note for you, and I think you know what it is.
Yeah, I've got a feeling.
It's the first thing you said this morning, back from my Holly Bobs, which I just know, as it's... someone who's about to sit in a car to Hereford, it's going to hurt you far more than it hurts me to remind you of it.
I will not stop thinking about that. I've never said it before, and I will never say it again. I don't know where it came from.
Oh, no. Once you've said it once, that's it now. You're either someone who's never said it or you're someone who says it. And welcome to the second group, Angela.
Oh, no. Please, no.
Yeah. I'm pleased to have you back in the studio more than anything. Welcome back from those Holly Bobs. I hope there's no roadie-woadie works and a little giggy-wiggy.
I hope there's an audiency-wardiency when I get there. That's what I'm...
Well, it will be no thanks to Tara if there are any seats unsold. We've tried our best. If you are in the Hereford area, you could do no better this evening than go and see Angela Barnes. Enjoy. Stay listening to Absolute Radio for the rest of the day, obviously.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once the rock party with Claire Sturgis is underway, maybe sneak out and have a bit of a giggle. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Dave. Stay safe, Will. See you soon.
Thank you, John.
This is the John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
There we go. That's this week's podcast. I wish I'd never said truncheon.
Really?
Yeah.
It's one of those words, isn't it? It's sort of my fault as well, because I immediately giggled like a schoolgirl when you said it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do take some responsibility for that.
Let's go back to the good old days of let's pretend... Caterpillar. No, I see. However
do you
say truncheon.
Do you not remember it, the show?
I'd be surprised if I didn't. I was watching everything then. I'm thinking a lot this week about a brief period where I lost my mind for the tweenies. Chock-a-block was my...
Chock-a-block. Yeah, in the little car. Yeah, I love chock-a-block. Let's pretend. That sort of era, I think?
Oh, it's coming up as a role-play experience in Surrey. four children.
Oh, right, okay, fine.
Let's put... Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Remember that? There you are.
Yeah. And as we now know, starring Chris Hazel, Tessa Hatz, and John Telfer.
John Telfer, there you go.
Stories inspired by everyday objects. It replaced Pipkins and featured a consistent, imaginative format. Well...
Lovely.
There's the bar through which we all try to reach. If only we could achieve a consistent imaginative format. On this
I'm writing
show.
It down.
We'll try again next week. Thank you for downloading. Have a great week. See you soon.
Bye.